Well, Heart Dwellers, it's been an exciting 2 days, and I'm so sorry I didn't get a message out to you, but when you hear our little tale of woe, you'll understand why. We finally got our guest going, up and going, our elderly homeless friend, and found her a place to live. In any case, Jesus wanted me to tell you what happened yesterday. He said, my love, tell them what happened yesterday. I just knew that was coming. How did I know that? Well, before I get into it, I just want to say it's August the 23rd, 2015. You'd think there'd be some things I wouldn't have to tell, especially after my husband, Ezekiel, said, don't tell them all of that. I thought for sure my covering would get me off the hook, but no, now he's agreeing that I should share it with you. Well, where to start? And be nice at the same time. Lord help me. I named this message Flypaper and the Best Laid Plans. Have you ever walked into flypaper? I have long hair, and someone pinned some flypaper up in a kitchen, and it came down just about to the tip of my head, and I walked by, and I tied into that flypaper, and I went to take it off, and it stuck more to my hands, and it stuck to my other hand, then it stuck more to my hair, and it was a mess. And it took me a long time to get free of that flypaper and get all that sticky stuff off of me. So that's why I named this episode Flypaper and the Best Laid Plans. So for a week, we'd been planning on moving Ray and getting all the people together that would be necessary to complete this little project, and we talked to her about it, but she was not very enthusiastic. But finally, she did agree. So as I shared with you in our last video about Ray, with no Social Security income and four tiny pee and poop anywhere dogs, as well as her own serious hygiene issues, we had to have her move because the owners of the house wanted it back. She pulled into our driveway 5 years ago, and since then, couldn't start her old Lincoln that had expired tags. We had attempted to move her for 3 different years, but every time, some string of events would shut us down. Now it was critical. The owners of the house told us she had to go. We finally found the perfect place for her. An elderly man living out on the mesa with his goats and all kinds of teenage runaways. He told the Lord he would never turn anyone away, and in all these years, he's taken care of hundreds that had no one and nowhere to go. We support Stanley with food every week. There's no running water. They haul their own water in. There's no electricity, but he's a decent Christian man that cares about others, and he cooks meals every day for whoever is staying there or comes on by. The mesa is a very interesting place. It's dry and windy and sagebrush, really no trees, very dusty and sandy, and really the poorest of the poor live out there, some of them in broken-down old cars, some of them even stack the cars together to make a house. Any material that's out there is put to use for something. The income level of the people who live out there is just something not to be believed. It is so critical. And that's mostly who we feed. That's where we send our food. So anyway, the mesa is a rough, rough place. And Stanley is a good soul. He even agreed to make a space for Ray on his land and dig her a potty hole under the camper that she was given. Ray loves animals, and she was raised on a farm. And we thought this would be the place where she could live the way she wanted to, have her dogs, and even have an elderly friend to talk to. So some very kind volunteers of the mission gave her the Yellowstone camper trailer we had once lived in when we came down from our high mountain retreat. We parked it on the far side of the house and nurtured the trees that had grown around it. The unfortunate side of this was that all of those 15-foot-high trees would have to be removed before the camper could be pulled out. Ray's old Lincoln was filled almost to the top, maybe 12 inches short of the ceiling, with books, clothing, and trash. But we had had it fixed, finally, as that was a funny story that I put up before, and it was ready. So we were planning this move for the end of the week and had a volunteer crew set up with a backhoe tractor to come in and maneuver the camper out into the driveway. Now comes the sticky part. Ray wants to go home to Texas, and every time we've tried to get her what she needed to go, something would come up and snafu the plans. This time, we fixed her car, got her a new battery, filled the car with gas, and offered her travel money to go home to Texas. Dear family, we were at the end of our end. I couldn't go on another day with this woman on the property. The tiny ninja dogs, the horrible smell, and the threat of the owners asking us to leave if we didn't move her out and have the house cleaned was just stressing us both to the max, and I don't stress easily. We were at our wit's end to move her and the camper out before the owners returned. Really, my whole body was reacting to the pressures from all directions. So when we finally got a solution for her, we had to make it work. Ray had only three alternatives: take her dogs and start walking, drive her car out of the driveway and live in the Walmart parking lot, or graciously receive the camper and live on the mesa until she got her paperwork in order. We promised to help her with food and everything else that she needed, as long as we had funds. Just a little background on her. She's a charming and genteel woman from Texas, but doesn't live in the real world. All her time is spent in books with her little dogs that are constantly fighting over who's going to sit in her lap. That is her world. Everyone has tried to get us to put her in a nursing home, but I would never do that to her. Her heart would be broken without her dogs. That's just her life. And we've talked to friends that have known her for 40, 50 years, and they said she has been the same way her entire life. So she wasn't about to change, and we didn't want to separate her from her dogs, so we were trying to find an environment where she would fit in and wouldn't stick out like a sore thumb, and that was free. She told us, actually, that she came here with $1.4 million, and everything she owned got stolen from her, including her house and her RV. She was a horsewoman and used to living a nice lifestyle. One of the houses she owned, she sold to R.C. Gorman, a very famous American artist who happens to live here in Taos. So understanding her background, she was a wealthy and proud, independent Texas woman who had no need for God, professed Buddhism but didn't practice it, and said, "I'll go to hell because all my friends are there." For 5 years, we took care of her and witnessed God's love to her. She wouldn't have anything to do with Social Security, so she had no way to support herself. But now it was time for her to go, for our sanity, and I believe it was for her own good as well, because the Lord kept giving us confirmations that it was really time. The man who stole her house and RV from her was holding the title to her car, and I went to look him up on the internet to find out what his phone number was, and he was still stealing from someone because there was a court case on the internet with some elderly people in a house. So things hadn't changed, and he hadn't been stopped yet. So I had a little sit-down with Ray. It went something like this. "Ray, honey, we found a place for you to go with a trailer to live in until you get your paperwork in order. And we'll help you with the fees, but we can't do it for you." Now, the paperwork she had to get in order was basically your license and registration. When she found out in this conversation that it was the mesa, she said, "I don't want the trailer. I'm not going to live on the mesa. I want to go back to Texas." I told her, "You can go back to Texas anytime you want to, but this would give you time to get more work done on the car and get your license and registration in order. So I told her, you can't stay here while you do that. You have to find another place to live. Well, a stream of excuses longer than a strip of flypaper started streaming out of her mouth. I won't live on the Mesa. I need new tires. I need new brakes. I need new mufflers, my license and my plates before I leave here. I told her, no, sweetie, your time here is up. You can do that at Stanley's. And she answered me, I know you don't want me here. I said, Ray, you were here when the owners came and took measurements. They've asked you to leave. This was not our decision. We are being forced. Well, I won't live on the Mesa, and I'm not going to Stanley's. So all week, that's what we had to look forward to. We went back and forth and back and forth. So here we are on D-Day. The backhoe operator's in the yard, uprooting trees, working his way to the camper. I looked at Ray sitting on the porch, holding one of her little dogs, which we just noticed 2 days ago was pregnant and ready to burst. She was talking to it, and I said, is everything okay? And she said, well, no. All night she's been trying to give birth to these puppies, but they won't come through the birth canal. This is a situation, I guess, that's real common with chihuahuas. They often die trying to give birth. At this point, I knew what had to be done, even though it was smack in the middle of moving her to Stanley's. It was Saturday, but I called the vet on duty, and he said he'd meet us several miles out of town where the clinic was. The volunteer helping her to move her things from the house to the trailer was on standby until we returned. All was just about set to go. The house was a complete disaster, clothing, dog stuff, smelling to high heaven, but we had to save this little dog's life in the midst of it all, so we went. We rushed down there, left the dog with the vet, and headed home to see if her car was ready. I said, okay, Ray, let's go get your car. So I called the mechanic and told him we were on the way. He shared his great wisdom about our circumstance, adding another 12 inches of flypaper to the mix. Just how are you planning on getting it? It doesn't have any registration. She doesn't have a license and can't guarantee that that thing is safe. I told him, we'll take care of it. He replied, but it's not registered. You can't drive this on the street. I thought to myself, she drove it to our house and parked it. Surely she can drive it off your property. Even though we had emptied 14 bags of trash from it, still there were piles of magazines and clothing and books up to the shoulder of the seats. The mechanic wouldn't even get in it to work on it. He was afraid of the Hunter virus, which has killed people out here. I opened the door of our truck for Ray to get in, and she said, I can't drive that car. It's not registered, and I don't have a license. I replied, do you want your car, Ray? You're not staying here another day. Benton is hauling the camper out to the Mesa for you, and you have to follow him in your car if you want the camper. I'm going to Texas. I don't want the camper. I said, Ray, you have to have a place to stay while you're making your plans. She was quiet. Then I got a great idea. She could pull that camper back to Texas with her. I told her that, and she sat there still brooding. A few moments later, did you say I could have a camper? Yes, Ray, it's yours if you want it. Well, then I accept. Not a word of gratitude, thank you, ma'am, or take a long walk off a short cliff, just, well, then I accept. I took a deep sigh of relief as we pulled into the mechanic's yard. The first words out of his mouth were, you can't drive that thing, it's not current, she'll get pulled over, it's not safe, I can't guarantee it, on and on and on, right? I put my hand up like a traffic cop and said, that's enough, brother. I don't want to hear another word from you. He started up again, and I said, zip it. Ray got in the car, turned the ignition, and nothing happened. Oh, boy. I looked at the mechanic, and he looked at me. I just started it 5 minutes ago, he protested. He opened the hood and found the cables were loose, so made some excuse and walked off to get a wrench. 5 minutes later, it started right up. But I was thinking, it starts now, but will it start again? No matter, it just needs to go. Then Ray started in making all kinds of objections. The dash lights won't come on. You don't need them, Ray. Then another stream of things that were wrong kept coming up as I walked over to the gate and she pulled towards it, talking the whole time with the door to the Lincoln wide open. I told her to close the door and she wouldn't do it. She just kept giving me excuses. Finally, I shut the door and told her I'd follow her home. Well, we made it to the gas station and filled it up. Arrived home just in time for Benton to be pulling out of the driveway with the camper. She parked on the street, opened the door, and began another long string of protests. The steering wheel wiggles. The brakes go to the floor. It smells hot. My license and my registration aren't current, and the fluids haven't been changed. And she wanted to park it in front of our house again. I had the fluids checked. And I said, Ray, you have two choices. Leave this car right here, get in the truck with Benton, and I'll have it towed away in 20 minutes and impounded. Or get behind him in your car and follow him out to the Mesa where there's another mechanic and we can have it looked at again. She just gave me a blank stare. I could tell a rebuttal was coming, so I repeated her options and walked away. Now, in order for the camper to get out of the driveway, we had to move our truck. It was rather a tight squeeze, and all of a sudden, one of our tires exploded and went flat. It had hit some kind of a stub on the side of the wall and just penetrated all the way through. Big explosion. Benton looked at us, thinking his tire went flat on the trailer. He looked at us and said, well, I can't keep going with a flat tire. And I said, smiling, because I knew he was good to go, no, Benton, you're good to go. It's our tire that just exploded. He finally got it, turned and went down the street, and she followed quietly. Woof. Boy, I'll tell you, if I were a drinker, I would have had 3 martinis over this. I was so exhausted. Well, unfortunately, that's not quite the end of the story. She made it all the way out to the Mesa and had just crossed the cattle guard when the car stopped and started steaming. Benton looked at it and figured out our world-class mechanic didn't screw the radiator cap on all the way. And now, well, the car is toast. The Lord whispered in my ear earlier that day to get her another car. I felt the Holy Spirit in that. So I brought it up to Ezekiel, and the Lord confirmed it, and somehow she will have to find a used car, and we have several volunteers that I'm sure will help her to pay for it. So Ezekiel and I spent a good hour soaking in the water after all of that, and when we came back, there was another message on her phone, because you know I wasn't going to answer the calls. It was Stanley, who had this good report. We have a problem with the propane. It seems to be leaking somewhere when I turn it on. I thought to myself, welcome to Flypaper Central. Good luck, brother. In the meantime, who's going to pick up the dog at the vet tomorrow? I don't know, but I do know who won't be picking up the dog at the vet tomorrow. We've done our 5 years, and we're out now. It's someone else's turn. And that's the end of the Flypaper and the Best Laid Plans story, or so I hope. So needless to say, I came into prayer last night, roadkill. It was all I could do to sit up and worship our good God. Immediately, I saw him holding me up under the arms. He picked me up and put me on the operating table and opened me up and began repairing the damage. I think I was a mess. Taking things out and putting things back, swabbing around my heart because infection had set in. The infection of anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, and frustration. When he was done, he said, you'll have to be on antibiotics for a while. In the next scene, I was lying in this beautiful, palatial bed with a sheer canopy and curtains in a palace. And the Lord was sitting on my right, on the edge of the bed, and on my left were my lion Judah and my mountain lion Felix. And on the bed was a new kitty I'd never seen before, a beautiful muscular jaguar. Jesus said, "Her name is Jasmine." "Aw, she's so sweet." She was licking my hands and nuzzling under my arm with her cold nose. And I was eating a delectable pastry that she was helping me with, bit by bit. Her massive paws were making kitty biscuits on the covers as she savored every bite of the pastry. "Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for treating me like a queen. And you know how I love jaguars and their beautiful rosettes. She's adorable and a bit massive." He replied, "Don't you know it's because you did a queen-size amount of work?" "Aw, thank you, Lord. You're welcome, dearest. Thank you for taking care of the one I want to make mine. For you, Jesus."